I'm going to take an old familiar Bible study. I've not given it here probably in 10 or 15 years. But I'm going to give it. I've been putting it off for weeks because I don't like to give you something that I have given you before, even though it's been years ago. But this is an important Bible study. I'm going to apply it tonight to the church and tell you where the charismatic movement came from and how the charismatic movement, how churches have evolved. You know, for example, there are Catholic churches now. They're in the charismatic movement. I was down in, Winston-Salem. A Presbyterian church down there is in the charismatic movement. Are you listening to me tonight? I was in Dallas, in a Southern Baptist church down in Dallas. Strong charismatic church. Excuse me. And I want to show you how that happens tonight. Genesis chapter 24, verse number 1. And Abraham was old, and this next line is interesting, and well stricken in age. You almost think getting old is awful bad, wouldn't you? Stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of all of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. That was sort of like a shaking hands deal, a closing an agreement. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. This little study is my Bible study that I used to give a lot around the country. I haven't given it in years. It must have been, good night, 15 years since I gave it. Though Dr. John Rice liked it more than any other Bible study I ever gave. The other day somebody asked me, said, what sermon of yours was Dr. Rice's favorite? My favorite sermon of Dr. Rice was God's Calls to Soul Winning. And my favorite Bible study was the one I'm going to give tonight, and except I'm going to apply it just a tad differently tonight. But Dr. Rice used to say to me, give that one from Genesis chapter 24 about Isaac. He had left me to do that in the morning service. And so this little study, I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll learn something. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the study of Thy Word in a few moments, and I pray You'd help us to delight in it and learn from it and be improved by it. In Jesus' name, amen. And our Father, bless our study tonight to our edification as we think of this wonderful, wonderful truth and truths in this chapter. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to sort of rearrange ourselves a little bit tonight. Brother Colston, I'm going to ask you to trade places with Brother Jorgensen. And Brother Young, if you'll move over the next, over here with Brother Colston while I'd be comfortable. Right next door. See Brother Colston there by himself. That's good. All right. Mrs. Colston, you're going to help me tonight. And you're going to come over here. And Brother O'Clair is going to move over. And come sit where I sit, Brother O'Clair. And then Brother Douglas, you move over there. Mrs. Colston, you come over here. You're going to sit right there opposite your husband. And you are going to be Rebecca. And you are going to be Isaac. And you are going to be Abraham. And I am going to be Eliezer, the servant. And I want the longest. Use this mic.
I thought it was.
Tonight. So, you'll just, I want to use that mic in a few minutes. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is the characters in our story. I am not saying that, I'm not saying that the 24th chapter of Genesis is a type of Christ for sure. I am saying that it is probably a type of Christ. In order for something in the Old Testament to be a type of Christ, it must have a statement in the New Testament saying that it is. For example, we know that the tabernacle is a type of Christ, the Old Testament tabernacle, because in Hebrews chapter 9, it says so. We know that the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness is a type of Christ, because in John 3:14, it says so. We know that Jonah and the whale is a type of Christ, because in Matthew chapter 12, it says so. Now, I think that the book of Genesis chapter 24 is a type of Christ, but I do not know for sure. But I'm pretty sure that it is. Now, I want you to look at verse number 2 there and take a pen or a pencil and circle the word Abraham. And Abraham, circle that word and write God the Father. God the Father. You're going to learn something now if you'll follow with me. Abraham, in our story, represents God the Father. Now I want you to notice, it says, and Abraham said to his eldest servant, I want you to circle the words eldest servant and write the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In our story tonight, Abraham is a type of God the Father, a symbol of God the Father, and the eldest servant is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go on down. Abraham said to his eldest servant of all his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife. I want you to circle that word, wife, and write Christians. Christians. All Christians. Shall not take a wife unto my son. Circle the word son. And that's talking about Abraham's son Isaac. And write Jesus. And write Jesus. Look at verse 4. But thou shalt go unto my country. I want you to circle the words my country and write the world. The world. All right, let's see what you've got so far. Abraham is a type of whom? And the servant's a type of whom? And the wife he's going to choose, the bride, is a type of whom? Christians. And the son is a type of whom? The son's name is Isaac, of course. Type of Jesus. And the far country, Abraham's homeland, is a type of what? The world. All right. Now then, listen carefully for a minute, and I'll bring you up to date. Abraham said to, he called his servant, Eliezer, and he said to his servant, I want you to go to the far country. He said, I do not want my son, Isaac, to marry anybody in this land, but I want you to go to the far country, Mesopotamia, where we came from, and I want you there to choose a wife for my son, Isaac. Don't leave me now. Choose a wife for my son, Isaac. So that's the story here. He's sending the servant in the far country. Now, wait a minute. This guy's got to go to a nation several hundred miles away, and he's got to find the woman that is supposed to be the woman that Isaac is supposed to marry. Look at verse number 10, and you'll see what the servant did. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. All right? Now, I'm going to be that servant. And Abraham, who's Abraham? You're Abraham. Go over there and sit beside Isaac, would you please? He's your boy. All right? Now then, Abraham sends me, the servant, to the far country. And he sends me to the far country for the purpose of getting a bride for his son. Now the bride is going to decide to marry him sight unseen. And in this case, I think it might be a help. I think you'll agree. So I am going to the far country, and we're going to go through this again a little more carefully. But I'm going to the far country, and I'm supposed to get a bride for my master's son. But how in the name of common sense will I know which one to choose? Look at all the pretty girls in the far country. Good night. I said, look at all the pretty girls in the far country. Yeah, all that. Well, how in the world will I know which one of these beauties is going to be the right one? Beauties. Okay. How will I know which one he is going to be the right one? Okay. I want you to look down, if you would please, to verse number 14. And here's how the servant found out which was going to be the right one. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that may sound like a small thing to you, but that's a whopping big thing. I mean, what the servant did, the servant got on his knees and said, dear God, I want to know which one. in here in Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor, is the one that's supposed to be the wife for my master's son, Isaac. Tell you what, dear God, I'm gonna get to the well when the ladies come down to get the water. In those days, the ladies always came down to get the water and always carried the water. You wouldn't expect a dainty man to carry water, would you? And they brought bottles made of skins. And they brought those bottles and they filled them up and put them on their heads. And if you've been over there, you've seen folks still walking down the street with bottles on their heads. That's where women became flat-headed. And Abraham's servant said, was going to say, could I have a drink of water, please? And that was a miracle. If she said, could I water your camels also? Now you have 10 camels. Now you understand this, unless you've been over there in the Middle East, the camels over there gurgle water all the time. All the time. And so a camel absolutely drinks heaps of water. So what happened was that this gal would have had to go down to the well and get some water and bring it back on her head and then pour it out, and the camel number one would go, and then she'd have to go back and she'd have to get some more and bring it back, and the same camel would go, and I do not know how many a camel can drink, but a lot of a camel can drink, and it would have taken her hours, no doubt, to give enough water to feed all those 10 camels. So, I'm over here in the far country. I've got to figure out which one of these beauty queens up here is the one for my master's son, Isaac. And so I say, which one is it? All right? Well, we're going to act it out in just a few minutes, but not right now. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look on, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And so what happened? What happened was, he said, hot dog. I know he didn't. He said, amen. He said, this is the one. This is the gal. Because she has asked if my camel, she could give water to my camels also. Now then, Eliezer the servant took out earrings and gave earrings to the bride, to Rebekah. He also gave her two bracelets, and he talked her into coming back and marrying Isaac sight unseen. Now we're going to act this out, and I'm going to learn you something on the way. All right, you are Abraham, and you just tell me what you want to tell me. Okay, step up, Abe.
Yes, sir. I'm getting old and well stricken in years, and,
yes, sir,
and my son Isaac needs a bride.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to go back to our home country and pick him out a bride. Now, I don't want him marrying one of these girls around here. These bad girls.
I understand that.
Okay, I want him to go back. I want you to go back to the home country and you get a bride for Isaac.
Now, what you want is a soprano rather than an alto, is that right? All right. So you want me right now. He is a type of God the Father.
And Isaac is a type of Jesus. So God the Father said one day to the Holy Spirit, I'm the Holy Spirit. He said, I want you to go to the far country, that's the world, and choose a bride for my son. That means I want you to get people saved until the rapture comes, and then there'll be the marriage of the Lamb, and my son will have a bride. All right? So that's what you want me to do.
Yes,
all right? Who is he?
Abraham.
Representing whom?
God the Father.
And who is he?
Isaac.
Representing whom? And who am I?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit representing whom? I'm sorry. I am whom? Eliezer representing whom?
Holy Spirit.
All right. Let's go through it again then.
Okay, now I want you to get a bride for my son Isaac. He's of age now, and I want you to go to the far country where we came from and select a bride from there, not from around here. You get a bride from our home country.
All right. Now, what am I going to get? What am I going to get?
A bride.
A bride. The whole purpose of my going over to the far country is to get a what?
Bride.
All right. Now, if the Father, the Heavenly Father, told the Holy Spirit to go to the world, and this is the type of that, then what are we in the world for? To what?
Get a bride.
Get a bride. Now, okay, so what's our job? Our job is soul winning. That's the purpose. Now, anything else I do over there, you can sit down, Dad, and anything else I do over there is only to help me get the bride. Is that right? My purpose is to what? Talk to me. My purpose is what?
Get a bride.
Let's suppose I come back and have done a lot of good over there, but don't come back with the bride. Am I a faithful or unfaithful servant? One great consuming passion of what? Yes, and the consuming passion of this age on this earth is for God's people to get people saved. Somebody, well, all that effort to get people saved. Well, Jesus went to a pretty lot of effort, too, to get people saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, everything that the Holy Spirit is commissioned to do in this age is wrapped around getting a bride. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, but the gifts are to help us get the bride. The Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is to help us get the bride. The Holy Spirit comforts us, but comforts us so we can be comforted while we get people saved. The Holy Spirit strengthens us, but strengthens us to get people saved. Now, what happens to these charismatic people is this. They get more concerned about the comforting than the purpose of the comforting. They get more concerned about the gift. Well, I'll show you. So, I'm going to the far country, and I'm going to get a what? Going to get a bride. Okay? And so I go to the far country. I've got to get this bride. I wonder how I'll know which one. Look at all those gorgeous creatures up here. I wonder how I'll know which one it is. So, I say, Dear Lord, I'm going to sit here at the well. And I am going, the first young lady comes down here. I'm going to ask her for a what? A drink of water. And the first one that says, may I water your camels also, that is the one that's going to be the bride. Okay, so here I come, and I've traveled all this distance. I've got to get the bride. 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 And every single child of God's supposed to say, I've got to get people saved. I've got to get people saved. That's the purpose of our existence. That's why this church is here. That's why that college is out there. That's why that high school is out there. Everything we do is wrapped up around one thing. Get the bride. Get the bride. Get the bride. Get the bride. So, I get on my knees and I say, Dear God, I pray that you'd help me to know which one. So I'm going to sit here at this well, and I am going to ask for a drink of water. And it'll be a miracle, dear God, if a young lady asks if she can water my camels also. So I sit down here at the well, on the edge of the well, and you go up there. And while I'm sitting here on the edge of the well, waiting for, and look at all these pretty gals coming down here. But here comes a gal. My, look at that knockout. You have a seat there. So, well, hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And what is your name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, that's a pretty name. Can I call you Becky?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, you're sort of a snob, too, aren't you? All right, so, Rebecca. Rebecca, you live around here?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, I live way over yonder in the land of Canaan. You've heard about that?
Oh, yes, sir.
Probably seen it on TV, haven't you?
My father told me about it.
Your father told you about it. Well, I'm tired, and I am so thirsty. Let me ask a question. Could you give me a drink of water?
Yes, drink, my lord, and may I water your camels also?
Huh? What'd you say?
May I get water for your camels also?
Get my camels also?
Yes, sir.
You just said the lucky words? Yes. You just said the lucky words. Before I do anything else, I want to give you something. See, I have a rich master who lives back over there in Canaan. And let me notice how nice I'm getting. And I'm all got everything all mixed up here. Here we go. And okay, I'll be back in a minute. And okay, Rebecca, these earrings are for you. Aren't those beautiful? Yes, they are. They didn't know. You wait till you set your eyes on these. Boy, oh boy. These cost $3.98 today. And look at these bracelets. Look at that bracelet. Isn't that something? Don't get the billfold, just the bracelet. And, yeah. Hey, how about that one? Yeah. I wonder why it was a bracelet and earrings. Tell you why. Because it's a picture of Jesus. Of the Holy Spirit choosing a bride for Jesus. And what's the first thing you do to get saved? You got to hear. And that's the earrings. And what's the next thing? You reach out and you take by faith. And that's the bracelet. So you're symbolizing here a person who is going to get saved by hearing and then by taking. Don't you recall that in the Old Testament days when the priests were anointed, oil was placed on the lobe of the right ear and on the thumb of the right hand and the big toe of the right foot. Why? You hear the gospel, you take the gospel, and then you walk and spread the gospel. And so, you like those? I'm glad you like them. Now, I want to do two things. The first thing I did, I was nice. I was courteous. I was friendly. But now, my master didn't say to me, go to the far country and be friendly. He said, go to the far country and get a bride. Now, what's being friendly? Being friendly is a tool to get the bride. I've got to talk her into going back over here and marrying somebody she's never seen. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did to you when you got saved. You gave your life to somebody you've never seen. You trusted your eternity, your never dying soul, in the hands of somebody you've never seen. You've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you love Him. And one of these days you're going to marry Him. And God put this beautiful little story in the Bible, but I want you to notice, my job is to what? Get the bride. Now, in the Bible, we have what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, and so forth. Now, what are those, the fruit of the Spirit? Here's where our charismatic folks get wacky, and our deeper life folks get wacky. That they say, oh, we're Christians, we're supposed to be kind. But you know why we're supposed to be kind? To what? To what? Say it again, to what? Get the bride. He didn't say to me, Eliezer, you go over there to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor, and you go over there and you just be good. Okay, here, I'm going to be good. I got love. Love is the theme. Love is supreme. I love to tell the story. God is love. Joy. You don't like it, do you? So, I go back home. And I go back over here to the far country. And Abraham stands up. And he comes over here and asks me a question.
Did you get a bride?
No, but I went over there and I had love. Man, I loved everybody over there. I told everybody where I loved them. I told young people I loved them, old people I loved them, little young, middle-aged people I loved them. I told women I loved them, men I loved them, boys I loved them, girls I loved them. I spread more love over there than there's ever been spread over in my life.
But did you get a bride?
No, but I had joy. I laughed over there. I shouted in the supermarket, talked in tongues in the shopping center. jumped up and down and praised God. Well, glory, I said, all over there.
That's terrific. But did you get a bride?
Get a bride?
Get a bride.
Get a bride.
Get a bride.
Get a bride.
Did you get a bride? That's why I sent you there.
No, but I was kind. You told me to be kind. You told me to go over there and have love and joy and peace. Look, I stopped 465 fights.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
I wore a T-shirt with a peace symbol on it. Yeah. May I ask you a question? Good servant or bad servant? Yeah, and these people talking about love, 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 and never win a soul. They're not right with God. They're unfaithful servants. They're bad because God didn't send them down the world to smile and be happy and just laugh and love and make peace. God told them to be loving and kind and peaceful and gracious and gentle. Why? Because you win more souls that way. So the fruit of the Spirit is simply a soul-winning method. That's all it is. It's a course in how to get the bride. Okay. Let me show you something else. You sit down there. Okay, I'll go back. I'm sorry, I blew it. I'll go back. And by the way, you want me to give some gifts, didn't you, to her?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fine. I'll take these gifts over there. Hello. How are you? I've got something for you. As soon as you give it to me.
Hey, look at there.
Isn't that something? Oh, you better know they're beautiful. Yeah, bought those O'Hara Field the other day just for this Bible study. Yeah. I'm sorry, it was Goldstein Field, I forgot it. How you like that? Yeah, the best that Walgreens had. And look at there. There's another one just like that first one. Ain't that something? I hope you enjoy them. I go back home. Hey, Pops, I'm back.
Good. All right. Did you get a bride while you were over there?
Get a bride?
Get a bride? Yes, sir.
Did you get a bride? Get a bride.
Get a bride. We sent you to get a bride.
No,
bride.
But I gave those gifts.
You did?
I sure did, boy. I gave. Not only that, I multiplied those things. I sold those things. I started 44 jewelry stores over there. I'm a Jew, you know. But,
so you got rid of all of our gifts.
All the gifts, yeah.
You used them all. You used every gift.
Okay, and all of that, I invested those, got some more, invested those, got some more. Man, I tell you what, everybody over there in that city of Nahor has got those earrings exactly like those. Praise God.
Did you get a bride?
Bride?
Bride.
Bride?
Bride.
Bride.
Made no. The doctor before this is over.
No, I didn't get a bride.
You didn't get a...
Good servant or bad servant? Faithful or unfaithful? It's exactly what's happened to the Pentecostal people, the charismatic people. God sent us down to get a bride. And they say, well, glory! Woo! Sorry, that's not why you sent. Hey, the gifts of the Spirit are gifts of the Spirit, you know, governments and helps and healings and all that. Every gift of the Spirit, thank you, every gift of the Spirit is given for one purpose. Why am I supposed to go to the foreign country? Foreign country. Why? Get a bride. Okay, if I talk in tongues and don't get the bride, good servant, bad servant. If I heal 40 people from thyroid trouble and cast out 30 tumors from the gizzard and don't get the bride, good servant or bad servant? I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you talk in tongues. I don't care how much you get the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not winning souls, you're a bad servant. The purpose was the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit came to this world to get a bride for Jesus. And that bride is composed of all believers at the rapture who are married to Him. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And don't you talk to me about your being full of the Holy Spirit unless you're getting more people saved. The purpose of the fullness of the Holy Spirit was one purpose and one purpose only, or is, and that is to get the bride. So, I got to go get that jewelry back again. So, I'm supposed to get the bride. Okay. I come over here. You come in again. I sit down here at the well. I have a prayer first. Dear God, I got to choose the right one. I've got to choose the one that you want me to choose. And I pray you to help me to find the one. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask some young ladies to come down here today for a drink of water. If anybody would dare do the miraculous thing of offering water to my camels also, that's going to be the one. So I sit down here, and in walks Rebecca. Bible says a beautiful woman. She has a seat there beside the well. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Good. You come to get water, I guess?
Yes, sir.
You live around here?
Near here, yes, sir.
Good. I live over in Canaan.
That far away?
Yeah, a long ways off, long ways off. It's been a long journey. Oh, and it's a long, hot journey, too.
You must be tired.
Oh, I'm worn out. Now, I'll tell you what, and all of that, on the way I had a pastor school, and I am just fagged.
You're really tired.
Oh, I really am, yes, sir. Those desert pastors are dry as dust. It's hard to stir them up. And, by the way, would you mind me having a little drink of your water?
Drink, my lord, and may I water your camels also?
Are you what?
May I water your camels also?
May you do what?
May I water your camels also? I'd be happy to.
This is your lucky day. You have been chosen bride for the day. Yeah. You see, Rebecca, my name is Eliezer. I work for a wonderful man. His name is Abraham. He's got a son. He's just like his dad. He's a great guy. He's about your age. You got a sparkle in your eye. You're blushing, Rebecca. And I work for him. I want you to notice this. I want you to notice that servant didn't talk about himself. Servant's talking about the son. Here's what our charismatic folks do. I'm Eliezer. I'm the best servant Abraham's got. He's got 500, but I'm the best. Guess what? He chose me out of all of them. I'm something, aren't I? Huh? Yeah. That's charismatic folks. Always talking about the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, you love Jesus more. That's His purpose. Holy Spirit's purpose is not for you to magnify Him. It's His purpose for you to magnify Jesus. And if you talk about, oh, bless God, I got it. Well, then talk about Jesus. Then quit talking about it. Talk about Him. And that's the purpose of it. Rebecca, my master Abraham, he's somebody. He's the finest man. I think the finest man in the whole world. He's got a son, and I'll tell you that son, if you've seen the father, or the son, you've seen the father. He's just a chip off the old block. And he's a great guy. By the way, the son, his name is Isaac, and he's not married. And you look like a Hiles Anderson girl and rolling it on as a freshman. The truth is, see, my master's from over here in this area. He used to live over here. But God, he's a man of God. Oh, what a wonderful man of God. And his son's just like him, a great man of God. And the truth is, he didn't want his son to marry the people over there, because I'll be quite frank with you, the girls are prettier over here and sweeter and nicer than they are over there. And quit acting so shy. You're not that. It's out of character. But anyway, what he did, he asked a question. Have you ever asked anybody before if you could give water to their camels?
I don't think so.
No, you haven't. I'll tell you something else, too. You probably don't know anybody that ever did, do you?
I don't believe so.
And you also understand how much water a camel drinks.
I realize now.
Did you count my camels?
There are 10.
Exactly. It's going to take you a long time. Your head's going to have a dent in it by the time you get that all done. By the way, I just prayed before you came. My master wanted me to choose somebody over here, and so I prayed and asked God to let the person that was chosen to be the bride for Isaac, my master's son, I was going to ask him for a drink of water, and if they said, let me give you a camel's water also, that was the one. Rebecca, I really believe this. I believe God wants you to be the wife of Isaac. Now, I know you've never don't say no yet. Or don't say yes yet. I know you're a fine young lady, but you've got to know that this is a miracle. You've never asked anybody if you could water their camels before. You don't know anybody that ever has. Something caused you, on the inside of you, caused you to say, may I water your camels? And by the way, I've got something for you from my master. Look at those beautiful earrings. Isn't that something? Yes, they are beautiful. But they're not as beautiful as these bracelets. You look at those bracelets there. Isn't that something? Now, Rebecca, I want you to think about it. And I'd like to talk to your family, if you don't mind. And so I'll go in and talk to the family. And I tell them the whole story. And then they turn and say, Rebecca, will you go? And Rebecca says, yes, I'll go. Now, that's a picture of every single person says, yes, I'll trust the Savior. You say, oh, Brother Howe, you mean this gal would marry a guy 500 miles away she'd never seen? I gave my life to a person millions of miles away up in heaven whom I've never seen, a Savior I've never seen, and I spent 40, going on 43 years of my life doing nothing but serving and preaching about Him. Going up down the country trying to get other folks to tell about Him. I'm simply saying that the whole purpose of my journey was to get a bride for my master. And the whole purpose of this church and every other church in America is to get the bride for Jesus. And I don't care how rich your church is, how many missionaries you send out, how much Bible you know, how deep alive you are. If you are not getting people saved, you're not right with God, you're not doing what you're here for. The purpose of the servant going to the far country was one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to get the bride. His being nice was to get the bride. His smiling was to get the bride. His being happy was to get the bride. Now watch this for a minute. Which is the best servant? Well, hello there. How are you today? Well, my soul, you look like you're a happy woman, and I'm delighted to meet you. And I've got a wonderful, wonderful master. Okay? And I say, well, I'm sure glad to know you. And I go back over here. All right? Now, what happens? I come back, and I was nice. I gave her the earrings.
Did you get the bride?
No. Good servant or bad servant? I'd rather a guy do this. Hi. How you doing? Come here. Come over here. There she is. Go back over there. I got more respect for a hardball fundamental soul winner than a sweet, ear-tickling, pussy-footing liberal compromiser. Now, I think it'd be better if I'd been nice, but I did get the bride. See, I'd rather for a person do right wrongly than wrong rightly. I'd rather the person have the right position, the wrong disposition, than have the right disposition and wrong position. The purpose is to get the bride. And the reason that he sent the servant was to get the bride. Now, charismatic hodgepodge is pretty popular. You know why it is popular? It's built around the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and not the purpose of the Spirit. It's built around the aids to get the bride and not the getting of the bride. Rebecca, you've talked to your folks, haven't you? All right. And I hope you understand how God is working here. You never thought you'd meet a fellow from Canaan today. And I did sure never thought that the first lady came down here would offer to feed my camels also. Have you made your decision? What is it?
I will go.
I will too. I will accept Christ as my Savior. That's what happened last Sunday morning and Sunday morning before last when people who had never seen Jesus at all came to this church, walked down this aisle and said, I'll receive Christ as my Savior. You know why? It was that servant that's doing the talking all the time. Without the servant, you're in trouble. The Father over there, He can't get the bride. He's over there. So He sends a servant, just like the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father. And you will go. All right, Rebecca, stand up. Now, we have a long journey. We have a very long journey, Rebecca. We're going to go through some pretty dangerous places. You're going to get lonely some, and you're going to get scared some. Now, Rebecca, don't you forget, I know every spot between here and there. Now, the secret, you've got to follow me. You've got to do what I say. You've got to obey me. And that's what you've got to do to be a happy Christian. Between the time that you say, I will receive Christ as my Savior, you've got to say to the Holy Spirit, I'll do what you say do. I'll follow you. I'll go where you say go. I'll be what you say be. So, Rebecca, you understand that, don't you? Now, who am I? And now then, I'm trying to get Rebecca back to the wedding, right? All right. Now, so, Rebecca, you follow me. So, they began their journey. Sometimes their journey went way down into the valley. And it was foggy and dangerous. But the secret was she followed the servant. On other days, they climbed the mountaintops and had 35,000 in Sunday school and had 5,195 people saved. But she followed the servant. But sometimes they had battles. Sometimes it wasn't as much laughter as it was tears. I'm sure some nights the wild animals came. You could hear the hissing of serpents. But her only hope was to do what? You don't know the journey to heaven that God wants you to take. You've got to follow the Holy Spirit. And so up and down hills they went, down the valleys they went, and they continued their journey. But the secret to her happiness is to follow the leader, the servant. And the secret to your happiness is not Six Flags over Mid-America. And the secret to your happiness is not being the bowling champion of the Calumet region. The secret to your happiness is not raking par on a golf course. And the secret to your happiness is not putting a lot of money in the bank. The truth is, she left her money. She left her family. She left her possession. She left her homeland. And she's following the servant. And then a journey. Sometimes the journey is crooked. Sometimes the journey is straight. One day, they got pretty close, and Isaac had come out to kneel and pray. And the servant said, "Rebecca, let me get somebody else to do this part."
No.
Rebecca, see him?
He's wonderful.
You know who it is?
Must be Isaac.
It's Isaac. It's the one you came for.
I'm so glad.
It paid to obey God, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
It always does pay to obey God. And it paid to follow the Holy Spirit, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
It always does pay to follow the Holy Spirit. And right here, the next few words, the only place in the Bible where it says smoking cigarettes is all right. It says, "Rebecca lighted off her camel." Word for word, I quoted the Bible. The only place where smoking cigarettes is okay. Now, it's only grand you can smoke. You can't smoke Chesterfields or Pall Malls or Pall Malls, but you can smoke Camels. And so, Rebecca, come with me. Isaac, what do you think?
Nice.
Yeah. It's not in there in case you're looking for it. Now then, the Bible says Isaac took her to his tent. And what happened to the Holy Spirit? He drifts away into the shadows, because he's the one of the Godhead who is in the shadows. It's his job to get the bride to the groom. And that's my job. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me and dwells in me. So it's my job to get the bride to the groom. That's the whole thing. For these many, many years, I've spent my life trying to get the bride to the groom. And you wait. You wait till the rapture. And all those people that I've won to Christ, and you've won to Christ, and we together have won to Christ, when they get a glimpse of Jesus, and we say, "There he is. That's the one." It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So I'll gladly run the race till we see Christ. Now the tragedy is, Most of the churches in America today have either forgotten the servant altogether or misinterpret the purpose of the servant. And most Christians do not understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but the reason I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit is to get that bride to that groom. I believe in the fruit of the Spirit. I believe in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness and temperance and faith. I believe in all of that. But all of those are simply methods as to how we're to go soul winning. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit are simply aids to get that right. When she saw the earrings and the bracelets, she saw them. Then those were simply aids to get her. So don't you let any of these pussyfooters tell you that we stress soul winning too much. Don't you let these Keswick Conference people and some of these deeper so-called self-styled deeper lifers tell you we stress soul winning so much. Everything we do, now don't misunderstand me, we ought to teach our children to be kind. Be ye kind one to another. Why? Because the kinder you are, the more souls you can win. God is love, and we ought to say it. Praise Him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. And we ought to say, love. But why love? Because the more love you have, the more folks you can get to the Savior. The more likely. And by the way, ours is an impossible task, humanly speaking. How in the name of common sense can I talk somebody who's never seen Jesus to give their lives to Him? That servant does it. The servant does it. And the servant does it with love and the gifts. But our charismatic friends have gotten it all wacky. They go to church to shout, not to see people saved. My Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You don't sow in joy, you sow in tears. We had real joy a week ago last Sunday night when I read the number of folks who got saved. We did nothing but praise God and have a spell here for about 10 minutes, and nobody said anything except to God and praising the Lord and saying amen, glory to God. Now why do we have that joy? Because we'd sown in tears. See? You don't come in shouting, you come in weeping, go out shouting. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. All right, Miss Colson, Rebecca, go back over there. We're gonna go through it and we're going to let the people. Okay, who's this? Abraham, representing whom? Okay, Abraham. Now, what's he supposed to tell me? Okay, and go where to get the bride? Far country, okay?
Okay, Eliezer, I want you to get a bride for my son Isaac, right. And I don't want you to get her from around here. I want you to go over to our home country, and I want you to pick a bride out over there.
Why am I going? Get a bride. How am I supposed to behave when I get there? Nice. Peace or war? Love or hate? Joy or grapping? So suppose I walked up over there and I said, how do you do? The dear Holy Spirit has sent me. I am the Holy Spirit. And He sent me from our gracious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, who is our Redeemer and this our sanctification, our glorification, our propitiation. And I would like for you, Lord to God, hallelujah. I'd like for you to come praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! I'd love for you to come. She'd say, crazy nut. If he's anything like this guy, I'm not going over to marry him. I've got to convince her that this guy, if this guy's like me, it's a pretty good deal. And so my sign is I'm going to ask for a what? Talk to me, what? Drink of water. And she says, I'll water your camels also. She's the right one. And so I did it. After I do that, I'm going to give her some what? Earrings, a symbol of how you get saved by what? Hearing. Here are the earrings. I'm going to give her some what? Braces, because once you hear the gospel, you what? Receive the gospel. And then I'm going to ask her to go with me. And she does go with me. And we go up and down the hills, up and down the valley, down the valleys, up the hills, crooked places, straight places. And then she sees Isaac and she lights off her camel. She lights off her camel. Okay. And this is a wonderful lady. She won't even light off her camel. She goes against the Bible even. And there's Isaac. And she goes to Isaac. And the Holy Spirit steps back into the shadows. But the joy of getting the groom and the bride together is all the servant needs. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. And that's the job of the church. But it's so...